Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Mark. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20.
The Gospel of Mark chapter 5, as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark, we find ourselves in chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20. And Father, thank you again for us just being here, for your grace and your love and your forgiveness. Thank you so much for the cross. And Lord, it's through your blood that our sins are forgiven and that we can walk in newness of life. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts today. Give us a word in season for our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 5, looking at verses 1 to 20. The title of this message is Satan Exposed. Satan Exposed. Today we're going to uncover and expose seven characteristics of Satan. We're going to look at some of his workings and the ways we can identify demonic activity in the lives of the people around us, as well as in our society. Look what he says there in verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Now notice it said they came to the other side of the sea. We saw at the end of chapter 4 that the disciples thought that they were going to perish in a storm. But they forgot what Jesus told them in chapter 4, verse 35. He says, let us cross over to the other side. He didn't say that they were going to drown in the middle of the sea. He said, let us cross over to the other side. So here we are in chapter 5 on the other side. And so too, you will make it to your other side as well. The storm is not going to be like this all the time. It's not going to be raging. It's not going to be all the time. You will make it to the other side. Jesus will rebuke your storm that's going on in your life right now, and you too will make it to the other side. Now that they are on the other side, what happened? Verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Let me just read verse 3. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Now, I want you to notice there's a man with an unclean spirit. Matthew tells us that there were two men. There's no contradiction here, because some people like to say, well, you know, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Matthew said there were two men, and Mark said that there was one. There's no contradiction. Mark brings attention to the one who was the main speaker. And here we see the first characteristic that we see that Satan has an association with the dead, tombs, or cemeteries. The tomb in this verse and in this day were chambers carved out of the hillside. Now, with this in mind, was Satan having a fascination with death and with tombs and with cemeteries and things like that? Me, I just find it hard for people who call themselves Christians have no problem watching horror movies, scary movies. And then they take the money that God has blessed them, what little bit we have. Then we go and pay to watch it. I just find this hard to accept. It's just me. I find it hard to accept because Satan has a fascination with death, with the dead and cemeteries. And all of these things make up of good ingredients for a horror movie. Death, cemeteries, tombs, all kind of stuff like that. The dead, those got the makeup of a great horror movie. Now, here's the thing. I just find it hard for those who call themselves Christians have no problem at all watching them. This is me. I just have a problem with that. This is the first characteristic we see of Satan and his activities, association with the dead, death, tombs, and cemeteries. Now it says in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Verse 4, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains have been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. So when people who have tried to bind these men with chains, according to verse 4, they just pulled them apart. And this is the second characteristic of Satan, is supernatural strength. Verse 4 also says, neither could anyone tame him. The word tame in the Greek is demazo, and it means to subdue. In other words, no one could subdue these men. They were just out of control. I remember hearing a story about a little Filipino girl about 4'10", 90 pounds, how she was demon possessed and was throwing 5 grown men around the room who were trying to subdue her, showing that demon possessed people demonstrate supernatural strength. Look at verse 5. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. These men were screeching and cutting themselves with the jagged rocks that were in the area. And this is the third characteristic of demonic activity, is cutting themselves. Parents, listen up. Pay close attention to your teens if they're starting to cut themselves, supposedly to relieve the pain. But just think of that. How can cutting yourself relieve pain? It's a contradictory in terms. It's a contradiction in terms. Every time I accidentally cut myself, I don't say, "Aw, that feels much better now." Cutting hurts. And I'm not trying to belittle those in that kind of pain and all that sort of stuff. I'm just saying, parents, pay attention to this sign. I'm not saying your child is demon possessed. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that demon activity is associated with cutting oneself. It may not be demon possession. It may be demon oppression. One to two, Satan is near. Pay close attention. Parents, and they do it in places where you can't find the inner thigh and all that sort of stuff and on the arm, and they always wearing long sleeve in summertime and all. Pay close attention. Parents, don't be naive. Pay close attention. Satan is always near when there's the cutting of himself, because it doesn't make sense. You're in pain and you cut to relieve the pain. No. See, that doesn't make sense. Satan is always wrong. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That's confusing to me. That's confusing. You're in pain. You won't cut to relieve the pain. See, that's confusing. Satan is always near. Pay close attention to these things. And I believe there's somebody here that's cutting. And you think nobody knows. God sees it. He sees that pain that you're in. He sees it. And he wants to be the one to relieve the pain, not through the mutilating of yourself. And the Lord sees that. Or maybe you've done it when you were younger and you've been tempted to do it again. You've been tempted to dabble back into that. I'm telling you, only God can heal the wounded heart. He's the one that can relieve the pain that's in your life. Pay close attention to these things. Look at verses 6 and 7. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Notice how these demon-possessed men knew who Jesus was and called him the Son of the Most High God. According to verse 6, when they saw him from afar, they ran and worshiped him. The word worship in the Greek is proskuneo, and it means to turn and to kiss, to adore, to worship. According to James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, Satan believes the Bible and even quotes it to Jesus. So let's put this all together. Let's put it all together. Satan believes that there is one God. He believes in Jesus Christ and worships him. He believes in the Bible, even quotes from it. We know that Satan isn't going to heaven. But as you evaluate your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ, how are you any different than Satan and his demons? So when you heard last week that 78% of Americans identify themselves as Christians, we can see that most Christians are no better off than Satan and his demons. In other words, you can believe in one God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, quote a few verses, worship Jesus on every now and then on Sundays, and be no better off than Satan and his demons. See, here's just what you fail to realize. The evidence of a true Christian is a changed life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, for you note takers, it's not on the screen. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, the reason why Satan can believe that there is one God, he can believe in the Bible, quote some verses. I mean, he can believe in Jesus Christ and worship him. And the reason why he will not go to heaven, look, his belief has not affected his behavior. Belief affects behavior. What you believe, it will show in your life. And here it is, true Christians. And here's the thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new person when you accept Christ. Now, here's the thing. A true Christian believes that there is one God. A true Christian worships Jesus Christ. A true Christian believes in the Bible and quotes from it. But see, we do it because we love God and we've been changed by him. We want to get to know the one who paid the ultimate price for us. We want to get to know the one who died on the cross for our sin. We want to get to know the one who took our place on Calvary's cross. We want to get to know him. We want to talk to him and pray to him. And we want to have fellowship with him. We want to hang out with him and learn more about him. It's not some religious duty we do. We don't have to try to work ourselves up. Okay, let me work myself up to read. Let me work myself up to pray. It's a drag to come to church and you got to be pumped and primed to come. No, 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 no. When you're a true Christian, you want to come. You're right there waiting for the doors to open. Okay, y'all going to open this door anytime? You can't wait to be there. You can't wait to be in the midst of God's people. You can't wait to worship him collectively as a church. You just can't. It's not something somebody got to pump you. Are you going today, honey? Are you going today? Are you really going to? You said last night you were going to come. And it's not something you have to pump and prime people. It's who you are. And belief affects behavior. What you believe will affect the way that you live. And that's why people can believe all the right stuff and will go to hell on a grease pole. Because you can believe all the right stuff, but if it hasn't affected the way that you live. You know, I saw this growing up in the community I was involved in. It troubled me. It troubled me how I saw so many churches around, over 2,000 churches. But our city was just going down and down and down. I saw how you live like you want to live Monday through Saturday. Then you get religious on Sunday. You play church music on Sunday. And you just do this Sunday thing. And I never saw it affect the way that people lived. It was what they did on Sunday. It was just a show. You come to church for the show. You come to church. So when you go to a show, you dress up. So you dress up and come to the show. And then you hear the choir and then it's the big production. It's the show. And then the pastor gets up there and it's a show. And I wonder why it never changed people's lives. And it troubled me. I said, what's wrong here? And now I know what I know now. You know what it is? The people didn't walk with the Lord because they were never taught how. It was just a show that they came to, a production that they came to. And everybody, you jumped around, you flipped around, you ran around, you did your thing, you ran and did your show. Then you go home and live and do you. And that always troubled me. And I sat back and I saw it. And I was very troubled by it. And I'm still troubled to this day. And I said, we're going to give an account as pastors of how we taught God's people how to walk with him. That's why the Bible said, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. We're going to be held accountable how we taught people how to live. That's why I am not going to deviate from this book. That's why I'm going to give it to you chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, all 31,173 verses, all 1,189 chapters. I'm going to give it all to you. And then when we get done, we're going to do it again. And then again, and then again, as long as I'm here. Because People don't walk with the Lord because they're not taught how. And so belief, it affects behavior. Look at verses 8 and 9. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Jesus cast the demons out of these men. And according to verse 9, there were possibly 6,000 demons in them. Because the word legion is a Latin term. A legion of soldiers were 6,000 soldiers. So he said that, look, my name is Legion, for we are many. Possibly 6,000 demons in these guys. Look at verse 10. It says, also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. The fourth characteristic of demonic activity is that demons like to reign or control over countries and nations. We see that they begged Jesus not to send them out of the country. This reminds me of Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, when the angel brought Daniel the answer to his prayer and how he was delayed 21 days. He said because of the prince of Persia hindered him or held him up, or the demonic spirit that was overseeing Persia tried to keep him from bringing the answer to Daniel. Then he said, you know what? I got to go back. He got a good couple of good licks in. I got a little black eye right here. That's where it came from. He got a couple of licks. I got to go back because the prince of Greece is on his way. Satan has demons overseeing countries and nations. Why? To try to influence the decisions of that nation against the things of God. Do I believe that there is a demon overseeing America? Well, looking at the laws being passed today to practically outlaw Christianity or anything that is godly, it is very well possible. Very well possible. This is why we must pray constantly for our nation and our leaders. And by the looks of things, we need to pray a little bit harder. A little bit harder. Look at verses 11 through 13. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. The fifth characteristic of Satan is that his power is limited. His power is limited. According to verse 13, Jesus gave them permission to go into the pigs. We see this in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. When God asked Satan, he said, Satan, where you been? He said, you know, I've just been cruising around, you know, earth, you know, doing my thing. He said, okay, well, have you considered my faithful servant Job? There's none like him in all the land. He said, yeah, I've considered him. He said, you know, I can't get to him. You got this hedge around him and I can't get to him. You just lower the hedge. I guarantee I can get him to curse you to your face. And God said, okay. I'm a lord of the head, but you can't take his life. See, he had to get permission to do anything to Job. And so too, the same is with us. Before Satan can do anything to us, he has to get God's permission. There's nothing that happens to us that has not first been filtered through his love for us. But when God sees that we make choices contrary to his word, then he lowers the hedge and allows Satan to get to us to a certain degree. Or he can allow the consequences of our sin and choices to take effect in our lives. He told us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, of his flesh, he's going to reap corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he's going to reap life everlasting. In other words, if we sow to our fleshly appetites and desires, we will reap the consequences of those choices. You keep sleeping with someone you're not married with, unprotected and all that sort of stuff. You end up with a baby. That's the consequences of sowing to the flesh. You do it with multiple guys, got multiple baby daddies and all that stuff out there. Those are the consequences of your choices. But when we make choices to do spiritual things, then we will reap life everlasting, or our life will be abundant, overflowing with God's favor and blessing. We sow to the flesh, and you hooking up and moving in with folks you're not married with, no ring, no commit, no nothing, hooking up, mixing finances and stuff together. Then when that person get mad, decide to bail, you got all that mess and holding up courts and wasting their time to try to untangle mess you got yourself into. Those are the consequences of sowing to the flesh. Folks do it all the time and they see no problem. And because of the economy is bad, folks are making terrible fleshly decisions. And all in the name of, well, you know, I got to do what I do. I got to do me. I got to do the thing. You know me. I got to do, you know, I'm do me. Okay. You do you. And then when the consequences of those choices come up, when they come home to roost, then don't be blaming God. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So Satan has to get permission from God to do anything to us, which I'm very glad to know. Look at verse 14. It says, so those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. So Jesus gives permission to the demons to go into the swine. According to verse 13, 2,000 of them ran violently, you know, over the cliff and drowned in the sea. This is something I just have to mention. This is the sixth characteristic of Satan is destruction. Destruction. John 10:10 says, you know, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to destroy his destructive nature. Parents, pay close attention if your child is talking about death, dying, all that sort of stuff. Pay close attention to that sort of stuff. Death, dying, all that sort of stuff. Always want to wear black. Just be very mindful of that. I'm telling you, Satan is near. It's not just a fad. It's not just some kind of, don't just write it off. Pay close attention. Pay close attention. Because Satan's nature is destructive. And according to verse 14, the people that were keeping the pigs, when the pigs went off the cliff and stuff, the people that were keeping the pigs went into the city and told on Jesus. I guess they didn't know anything about snitches get stitches. I guess they didn't know anything about that. They went and told on Jesus. Now, before you get, you know, get all weirded out over these poor pigs, and Jesus put those demons in those pigs, and those pigs killed all those pigs, you know, them poor pigs, you know. Well, keeping pigs was, that was an illegal practice in this day for Jews to have pigs like this. Pigs were considered unclean. And the amazing thing about it is these pigs were considered unclean, and it was very similar to like the marijuana farms. It was an illegal practice. Jesus got rid of an illegal practice. Look at verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh, really? So when the people came out to see what had happened to the pigs, people went in and said, man, then Jesus came and, you know, ran my pigs off over the cliff. When they came out and saw the demon possessed man, clothed and in his right mind. This is the seventh characteristic of demon activity is insanity and nudity. Verse 15 says that when the demons were cast out, they were clothed and in their right mind. Now, I am not saying that everyone who likes to be nude is insane or demon possessed or something like that. No. But what I am saying is that there is an association that demons have with nudity and insanity. Why is that? 2 Timothy 1:7 is not on the screen for you note takers. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, then who did? You and your horror movies. If God didn't give us a spirit of fear, then who did? We're going to be entertained by Satan. We're going to be entertained by the one who brings fear. I just find that just mind-boggling to me, that I can receive entertainment out of that which Satan brings.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.